Wow. What a tremendous truth has been conveyed to you this morning. You have gotten a scope of history, unlike many people get and understand. And I just think that's a powerful, powerful message. Mankind was given, was created by God, placed in a paradise, given only one command. And yet they broke that one command. And because of that, they were separated from God by sin. It is thought that in the beginning, possibly it was the lamb that he slew to create skins to cover their nakedness. And the sacrifices continued after that, then were eventually instituted in the time of Moses. You saw when Abraham and Isaac were ascending the mount to offer the sacrifice, and God, and Abram said, God will provide himself a lamb. And literally he did that. Whether that's meant in the actual wording of the text, God provided himself the lamb. Down the road, we see the Mosaic law instituted. And for the people of God, that is the people of Israel, they were to offer lambs continually as a token of repentance and for covering their sin, acknowledging that they were sinners. But the Bible says then in the New Testament that Jesus is the propitiation, that is the satisfaction for our sins, but not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And while we don't have to offer lambs today, that is because, number one, we're not Jews, but number two, Jesus fulfilled the type. And then we continued on with the program that this lamb was sent here to earth for our sins, but then he is glorified, and one day we see him again upon his throne when he is saved from every tribe and tongue and nation people to himself. He has saved them, and they get to spend eternity with him. He has redeemed them. How? By the blood of the Lamb. But there's one verse we intentionally left out this morning. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn it to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1, Peter writing to a group of believers who are looking persecution in the face. And he tells them at the beginning of chapter 1 their position in Christ and the blessings they have. But as we come down to 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 17, Peter encourages them and challenges them this way. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in reverence, respect for the Lord. For as much because, that is, because ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But how were you redeemed then? Verse number 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so Peter, in his mind, thinking, how could I, maybe thinking, how could I convey to them the significance of the sacrifice of Christ and why it is that blood was the redemptive agent? I know, I'll remind them of the lamb. They're familiar with the lamb. Why, throughout their history, thousands of lambs, millions of lambs have been sacrificed to cover sin, to express a repentance for sin. And now one had come, one that the Hebrews says offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible says that he came and he was one sacrifice, but it was his blood. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because when you come to God, you don't bring the maimed lamb. You don't bring a diseased lamb. You'd pick a what we would call a perfect lamb, a clean lamb, one that wasn't lame, wasn't spotted, if you will, but a perfect lamb. And so Jesus Christ came to earth. Why? Because we were a fallen humanity. We were a race at odds with Him and in a position of rebellion. And because our story is part of a greater story, that of God's glory, He sent His Son to redeem us. But I remind you that just as they had to slay a lamb and apply the blood to the doorposts in the days of the Passover, so that when the death angel would come, he would pass over that house and the curse of the death of the firstborn would not fall upon the people of Israel. So when Jesus came, you remember that though he lived a perfect life, obeyed every ordinance of the law as it was supposed to be obeyed, absolute perfect humanity. And yet sinful humanity still could not tolerate him. And so they crucified him, nailed him to a cross, put a crown of thorns on his head. And he too shed his blood that if we would enter that house, if we would be saved, he would pass over on judgment from us. You see, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you recognize that he died in your place. He was a substitute. He was the lamb that not only covered your sin, but took it away forever. And if you would say, God, I am a guilty sinner. And I want you to save me. I want to be yours. I want to be different. I want to be delivered. The blood of the lamb will be applicable, satisfactory for you. But the Bible says that he couldn't be the sacrifice for humanity unless he was a human. Hence the significance of what we see today. Why do we rejoice at Christmas? Because it's cute? No. Because it was the infleshing of God. That is, God, the perfect sacrifice, had to come down and be a man. And as flesh and blood, he lived according to the law, a perfect life that you and I never could have nor would have lived. And then he offered himself. The Bible says he laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So that all who would call upon him would not be condemned, but would have eternal life. Eternal life is union with God. No longer do we have to be estranged from God. No longer do we have to be rebels. No longer do we have to be separated. But because of the blood of Christ, that satisfaction of the payment, the just penalty of sin, we can be reconciled to God. The Bible tells us then that after being crucified, he was buried. And 3 days later, he did what no other man, what no other religious founder has done. He took his life back again, and by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And now we have a powerful Savior, if you'll accept him. If you'll accept him. I read just recently, and I don't know if you've seen the video, but apparently in Tennessee, there was a Christmas program. And it was, I'm sure, cute like ours were. The young people did a phenomenal job this morning. And it was going along fine. They had the manger scene, and they had a few kids up around the manger scene. And there was Mary, and she was dressed in this beautiful, you know, little costume. And there was a little, I think maybe a two-year-old over here, and she was supposed to be one of the sheep. Well, it got a little boring for her, and the choir's over here singing Away in a Manger, and about halfway through the song, she decided she wanted to have a little fun, so she reached up and she grabbed the baby Jesus, and she brought him out here and started kind of dancing with him a little bit. I remember showing the people, and boy, the people just started a laughing. Well, you could kind of see the faces on the other ones, like, oh, she's not supposed to do that, you know? And so the Mary, I think, comes over here and gets the baby and puts her back in. Well, boy, that sheep wouldn't be pushed back. She went back and got that baby again. Well, that kind of, Joseph come out here standing, kind of smiling, not knowing what to do, I guess. And Mary decided to take it into her own hands. And so she kind of started trying to get the baby and finally got the sheep into a gentle headlock. And boy, I'm telling you, the people just were, I'm sure, laughing and thinking that was a great time. They were kind of fighting over the baby Jesus. This morning, I don't mean to fight over the baby Jesus. I mean to hold him up to you and say, he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For your sin and for mine. And what a glorious opportunity I have this morning of lifting him up to you and saying, he is the Lamb slain and he rose from the dead. And if you'll call out to him for salvation, he will save you today. If you go back to our text in 1 Peter chapter number 1, you'll see that it wasn't a surprise to God. It says, verse number 19, that we weren't saved with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice verse 20, who verily, that is truly, was foreordained. That means God knew about this ahead of time before the foundation of the world. He had already known what man would do. He already knew that we would sin. And God loved us enough to send his own son to be the sacrifice. He already knew that. That was already planned. Who is verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That is, people reading this letter, Jesus, we knew about the plan all along, but finally you know about it as Jesus is revealed on earth for you. And can I extend that another couple thousand years? Because we're still, as the Bible says, in the last times, he was manifest for you. Verse number 21, who by him, that is you, that by him, that is by Jesus Christ, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There's many here this morning, you say, Pastor, I love the gospel, but I've already saved. I already know what it is to be a child of God, and I've recognized my own sin and called out to him, and I've been a child of God now. Maybe some not for very long, maybe for quite a long time. But he's writing to believers, and he's saying, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things. You were redeemed with the blood of Christ, who was slain and manifested for you, who by him do believe in God, that your faith and hope might be in God. What do I owe him? Little lip service, little recognition, little giving of gifts around the Christmas season. What do I owe him? If we're truly wise men this morning, we'll worship him too. We'll say, God had this plan from eternity past, and because of his great love for me, he wanted me to be saved, that I could stand redeemed with him in heaven one day as he receives all the glory that he deserves. He is the King. He is the Christ. He is the Lamb. I wonder this morning, have you accepted him? Have you turned from the rebellion and from the sin of your own way? Have you given up and said, God, I'm broken? God, there's something bigger than me. God, I'm a sinner. I don't want to stay that way. I want to be yours. If you haven't done that this morning, I'm going to encourage you to settle that. Today. Don't leave this building. Don't leave this room. If God's working on your heart about this and says, you know that you're at odds with God. You know that you have never been reconciled to God. In another passage, it says, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Are you forgiven? I don't mean, are you still human? Do you still struggle? Are you weak? Even children of God struggle and sin. But have you ever become a part of the family of God by acknowledging, confessing who you are? Acknowledging, receiving who he is. It's all made possible because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb incarnate for us, who became man that he might die for men. that we might be redeemed and have eternal life and live forever with him and praise and glorify the one who deserves all praise. Have you received him? If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm a saved person, are you trusting in him? Is your hope and your expectation in him? Are you fretting around in this holiday season and all the gift buying and all the worrying and all the spending and all the rushing around to and fro? Are your eyes on the Lord? Is your ultimate hope and expectation, is the direction of your life the Lord Jesus? Do you look to him as your satisfaction? Is the direction of your life and of your goals and your desires and your influence Christ? Or has it gotten on to stuff and things and schedules and people? I want to point you back this morning to the Lamb. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb.